Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie, and happy Monday, our pod besties. I'm in Seattle right now, so we are recording virtually. I actually want to provide our pod besties an update because I feel like we are so open with you guys. But my grandma passed away a few days ago, actually a few days after we recorded last week's episode. And so I decided to go to Seattle to be with my cousins. I have a cousin who lives out here. So most of my cousins came out here just to bond and spend time together and kind of grieve together. So that's why I'm out here. But it, you know, her passing took me back to the conversation Deep D and I had two episodes ago when we talked about her uncle who passed away, and how it just like teaches us to not sweat the small stuff and, you know, reprioritize our lives and kind of, I don't know, do new things. Like I did the hardest hike of my life 2 days ago, and I don't know, I was like, let me just take this chance and do it. And so it felt great to just do that with my cousins. But anyways, just wanted to share that with you guys. I think everyone goes through like a loss of life, and it's really tough to deal with when it's someone that you loved very much. So
Yeah.
This episode is in honor of my grandmother.
Oh, I love that. And I think we talked about this last episode too, when we were talking about my uncle, that, you know, when tragedy like that happens and you are experiencing a loss, that it brings you so much closer to your family. And so I'm just really happy that you, you know, took the time and like change your environment, and you're with people that, you know, you can share stories with, and, you know, all that love is in one place. So yeah, I'm glad you got out.
Well, what was really fun is I was hiking in the North Cascades yesterday with my cousins, and I met a few pod besties, and that was really, really cool. I met a pod bestie from Hawaii, and I thought that was just so cool that we have pod besties across the US, around the world. And it's just like so fun. And so we were just chatting it up about like things we talk about on this podcast. And I love that. Like, you guys are so amazing. So thank you guys for listening.
It's so funny that you say that, actually, because on my way home from Dallas this week, I met a pod bestie too in the bathroom of the airport. And she literally was listening to our episode. And she's like, I'm listening to you. And I was like, that's so cute.
As she's taking a poop. We are. Exactly. I feel like our episode should be saved for like, you know, the bathroom action.
Yeah. What better?
Or long drives.
Yeah. What better environment than that? Yeah, I'm glad we're entertaining people in the most unentertaining places.
I agree. I agree.
I love that. Wait, so did you hear that Amber and Barnett from season one of Love is Blind, they are pregnant?
You're kidding.
Isn't that so exciting? I feel like season one is the gem of all the Love is Blind seasons.
Oh, it started it all.
And it was also so pure, such a pure season. So I get super excited when, you know, kids from that season are coming out.
I am so happy for them. I also agree. Like, season one really did start the popularity of Love is Blind just because of the couples on that show. I mean, I think Lauren and Cameron are probably the most well-known couple from the Love is Blind franchise. But Amber and Barnett, you know, I feel like they deserve so much more love and attention. But I also do love that they kind of took a step back from the franchise.
Yeah,
that's, you know, exactly. They were treated well by the production team, I heard. So
yeah, I think they have some qualms with the whole, like, you know, franchise. But I think that's why Lauren and Cameron just started a podcast called The Love Seat. And they mentioned in that episode, like, hey, you know, Amber and Barnett do not do interviews. And that's why this episode is so special. And it was their very first episode. And that's where they announced it for the first time that they were pregnant. So I think it was like a special moment for everyone. But you're totally right. Amber and Barnett do like to keep things very low key and kind of, you know, try to distance themselves from the space of Love is Blind because they're like in their own little bubble.
I actually think that it makes them more authentic and genuine. Mm-hmm. That they're like, love is truly real. I don't know what it says about us though, but
we didn't find love, so
But it just makes me feel like, you know, they very much, you know, this is our marriage. We found our person. And like, that's kind of that.
Yeah. I'm really excited for them, though.
Yay. Okay. That's such great news. We love baby news.
We love it.
Well, let's get into our Love is Blind Season 7 recap. The second drop of episodes, episodes 7 to 9. Wow. This second drop was crazy.
Insane. I was flabbergasted by the events that occurred. I mean, we heard a little bit of rumblings of like crazy drama happening in the TikTok world, but this set of episodes honestly had me on the edge of my seat. I know I said that last set of drops, but I didn't know it could
get just inching forward on your seat.
I was like, what is happening? There was lots of like memorable moments to talk about. I can't wait to get into it.
Oh, same. But I still think that my theory holds true. I don't think anyone on this cast is going to be that memorable. Maybe aside from Garrett and Taylor, but I still have trouble remembering everyone's names. And really, like, I think after I'm done watching the show, I won't really remember anyone. The drama's good, but no one's standing out to me as a character.
Yeah, I think I understand that. And I didn't want to toot your horn, but you know how I said, I was like, let's wait and see how this season goes. It could be epic. But I do have to agree with you that this season, really, Taylor and Garrett are carrying the team, if you think about it, love-wise. Yeah. And the rest of them are like kind of crashing and burning. And it's really sad to see. Like, I thought they were going to make it, but that just goes to show you how the pod episodes are not very indicative of what happens in the real world. And when, you know, just lives are intertwining, like it's just a shit show.
Yeah.
And this season is exactly that.
I'm just very confused at the men really on this season.
Honestly, it kind of pisses me off that casting didn't like look deeper into backgrounds of these people, or they did and they're like, this will make really good TV. Like, yes. I don't know. They're just like, it's okay. Let's just like have them figure it out.
Well, think about when we were going through casting and the background checks that we went through. They're not like anything, you know, out of the ordinary, right? It's just like the criminal background check and then also just like your employment background check. But that's kind of it.
You're right. It's not so extensive. And apart from like psychological evaluations, there really is not much else that they look for. They're like, everyone has a past. So if you are ready to get married and you say so, we're going to cast you.
So,
I mean, you're right. I guess it's not their responsibility, but it makes me upset when people come on the show and ruin the experience for their partners that they choose. It like frustrates me.
No, totally. But I don't know where to even start. Should we get into Hannah and Nick?
Let's get into Hannah and Nick.
This one was very interesting in terms of what I thought about Hannah in the first sets of episodes to what I think about her now.
Yeah. Okay. Give me your thoughts because, man, I was rooting for them, but I just simply don't think that they're going to make it.
You were rooting for them?
I was in a weird way rooting for them because they're like, they kind of make sense without making sense. Does that make sense?
in this set of episodes?
Yeah, like,
okay,
I don't know.
Yes.
They kind of like fit, if that makes sense. Like Nick is not such a like domineering type of personality, whereas Hannah is. So I'm like, okay, they could potentially work off of that, you know, balance. But
okay,
I don't know.
Yes.
Give me your thoughts. Yeah.
No. I think the same as you where, okay, I feel like she's like emasculating him a little bit, but he's like taking it. It's like he's not clapping back. He's just like, okay,
I'm ready
to learn. I love that she like takes charge.
Yeah, he's like, you know, yeah, I am less financially responsible, or what did he say? Like, I think Hannah was like financially literate, and he's like, I'm okay with that. You take on the bills. I'm good with that. I'll take the trash out.
I feel like he just doesn't know what to say back. You know, he's like, oh, here she comes. Like her personality is so strong. Her character arc is really confusing to me because I feel like first she comes off very immature and superficial in the first 6 episodes of this season. Mm-hmm. And then in episodes 7 to 9, she comes off still very silly and immature at times when it when it comes to her humor, which I feel like is more of like a Gen Z thing. She does have those habits where you find them more in someone who's a little bit more mature, like having a really good grasp on your finances, being very independent, you know, being a cleanly person. So I still think she's very harsh, though. Like the way she kind of talks to Nick, like she could find better words, right, to communicate her wants and needs.
Exactly. I think I understand what you're saying, because I do tend to be on Hannah's wavelength more in these sets of episodes, because she's being very responsible by talking about these things, especially finances, even like splitting duties when you're living together, like having joint bank accounts, all of that stuff, right? And I totally loved how she like just laid it all out on the table. You're right, though, in the sense that like her delivery could be different, because I think Nick is just very inexperienced. Like, I mean, he's living in his parents' basement.
No problem with that.
But would I want my future husband to be living in a basement when you're getting married in a matter of weeks? No.
Exactly.
And it feels like he's like at his starting point of life. And especially with relationships and marriage, like you have to be very independent. And the one thing I did appreciate is Hannah has been on her own since she was 18. And her parents were like, you got to figure it out and cut her off. And I think
financially.
Yeah, financially, to kind of be like, hey, you need to fend for yourself and figure it out. So I think that's where her like independence comes from. But you're totally right. Like, I think the way she delivers it to Nick has to be a little bit more kinder, because it makes me feel really bad for him.
Okay, I agree with the Nick thing. So there's nothing wrong with living in your parents' basement, but I think it's the dynamic that he has with his family, where when she asks him to boil pasta, he's like, oh, I've only done this once. And I'm like, what?
Okay, but the problem with that whole piece, though, was he kept saying, he was like, I can cook for you. I'll make you this. I'll make you this salad. I love tuna salad and chicken salad. He's like embellishing his skills a little bit, though. And then when they come into play, he's like, so I don't see the pasta in the fridge. Like, bro.
No, I totally get that. Yeah, it's the fact that it feels like he has been babied by his parents. So it's not just using his parents' house as a place to live. It's like he is still being kind of like, I don't want to use the word coddled, but like his parents are still, you know, doing things for him that he should be doing on his own. So I think that's the issue. But you're totally right. Hannah's delivery. I also didn't like how she's asking him about the 401k and stocks. And he's like, I don't understand. And she's kind of looking down on him. And I was like, if you really wanted to make this work, you're understanding when someone isn't as financially literate as you, like you don't kind of like poke at them like that. I also do feel like the way she was talking about stocks, she's not as financially literate. Like, I do feel like she's kind of putting a show for the cameras and maybe a show for Nick, that she is this mature person, which I do think that she is in one sense. But when she was talking about like, oh, you don't invest in stocks, or like, no one really talks like that. They talk more like they bring up like ETFs, mutual funds. It's more like that versus when it comes to 401ks versus just saying stocks. That was my perception of it. Especially when I've had conversations with serious partners about finances, it's like, you don't just say like stocks, you know, you really talk about like, are your 401ks, like what ETFs or mutual funds have you invested in?
Yeah. I mean, I do understand how like just throwing out the word stocks could be kind of like a buzzword to be like, I know my shit and I know what I'm doing. Or like throwing out things like, oh, like I'm investing in things that are like, you know, low risk, low yield, like whatever, you know, that kind of situation. But I don't know. I think she's like just a very direct person, and that's her personality, which in the earlier episodes, I was like, okay, you know, yes, she is a little off-putting in the way she like speaks to Nick sometimes, but these are things that Nick can grow with her on, where she can kind of like teach him certain things. But I feel like he's going to get sick of it eventually. Like the fact that he talked about it with her brother when her when they had the scene with her brother. And I don't know, it was like an interesting interaction. Like even her brother kind of brought up the situation, was like, yeah, she's kind of a bitch. but like, I think that's just like their relationship. Like she's just very direct. And I don't know if you saw this, but a few days ago, Hannah's brother made a TikTok kind of explaining that scene. And he was like, okay, this is TV for you because they cut out a lot of context and it feels like I'm siding with Nick and like kind of talking about my sister behind her back kind of situation, but I'm not. There was a lot that was left out. I actually didn't side with him, which is why it starts off like the scene where he's kind of like, yeah, but like, I'm not going to hate you for what you said. But apparently they cut out everything before that. And so it kind of makes it feel like Nick and him are like talking about how they don't like how mean Hannah is. But anyways, I kind of provided a little bit of insight into realizing, okay, yes, this is a television show and it's heavily edited. But yeah, I don't know, man. I at the beginning of these episodes, I really thought they could potentially make it work, especially when Hannah goes to see Nick's parents. I thought that was like such
she was so great.
Like such thoughtful gifts that she brought. Like
I was she was amazing. I was like, where did this Hannah come from?
I loved her honesty with his mom, where she was like, yeah, like there's some issues with Nick. Like we're going through this, like, and you know, he's not as experienced. I was like, oh, I appreciate you so much for being that way. Instead of just being like, yeah, he's great. He's amazing.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I very much appreciated that.
I feel like her honesty and directness in certain moments, it's amazing and great. But then when it comes to the way she communicates with Nick, it comes off very controlling and it's like my way or the highway. And that is not a partnership or a marriage. Like, I don't like how she sat down with him. She goes, you know, I want it cleaned like this and you're going to do this. And this is like, and it's like, that's not what a conversation looks like. You're just telling him. And maybe he needs that because he's also like a big baby. But, you know, it still comes down to like, I guess what I'm trying to say is both of them are very immature.
Yeah, which is why, you know, I wanted to ask you, like, do you think that it could work, though? Because it does seem like Nick is taking it in stride where he's like, like, that's fine. You can kind of tell me what to do.
I don't think he's taking it in stride. I think he's just taking it for TV and he doesn't want to make drama and he doesn't know how to respond. But I think based on the little comments he makes, especially to Hannah's brother, I feel like it actually really does bother him and he knows or he feels like she's being mean to him. But I think in front of the camera, he fears how she's going to react if he talks back to her is the reason why it looks like he is just taking it and like appreciates her directness. But I don't think he actually does. That's my just my opinion.
I agree with you on that, actually, because that was the question that was like kind of lingering in my head, like, could this work? Because he seems to be like okay with it. But in certain conversations, like with Hannah's parents or her brother, like small snippets of his frustration will like kind of peek through and he'll like word vomit it a little. He's like, well, she's really mean or like, you know, that kind of thing. She's very direct and I can take it. But so you can tell he has like a lot of internal conflict with it. But you're right. Like it can't last in that way because it's just kind of like a, it like, it brings your psyche down a lot. Like I do understand why Hannah could be frustrated because he's not very mature in certain aspects of life yet and very inexperienced. But if someone keeps putting you down while also trying to teach you, and it's just not a good environment for growth. Yeah,
I agree. Know? I don't think either of them are ready for marriage at this point. I think she needs to work on her delivery and also being a more like understanding and compassionate partner, but he also needs to grow up.
Yeah. Well, considering they're both the youngest from this season, I think it kind of makes sense that they are not ready for it. Like, I don't think they're going to work.
Like, I don't like correlating age and readiness for marriage, but in this case, I'm like, I feel like they need a few years, okay? Yeah. And a few more relationship experiences.
Right. This whole experience for them, this whole experiment for them is going to really help them grow a lot, but it's not going to be with each other.
I agree.
Truly. Another couple that I found very shocking, actually, was Marissa and Ramses.
Oh my goodness. I have so much to say about them because I hate Ramses. I'm just putting it out there. I mean, like, I hate his character, not him as a person because I don't know him, but I don't like his character on this show.
We knew something was bound to happen with this couple because it almost felt a little too good to be true. Like, the military conversation that they had was, like, very odd because I feel like Marissa is in a position where she's still trying to process her own feelings with her involvement with the military.
I agree.
Like, obviously, she has a background with it, but I feel like she's trying to, like, please Ramses by saying, yeah, but, like, I don't agree with it anymore. Like, I don't think that, you know, it's a part of me. I will never go back into the military and, you know, yada, yada. But, like, I think she kind of is struggling with her own, like, internal conflicts because the conversation that she had personally, privately with Ramses was kind of like a different flavor that she had with her friends and Ramses because mm-hmm. she was like, yeah, this is the part we just definitely don't agree on, because it almost felt like they agreed when they talked like privately, but with her friends, she's like, no, like the military thing is a huge topic. Like, I don't know. What did you take away from that?
He made that conversation so uncomfortable by dismissing her feelings as she's sharing her confusion around serving in the military. She, you know, she says that she was naive in signing up for the military. She doesn't agree with half of what the military does, but she's also, you know, really thankful for her military service and the opportunities that it provided her. Even as she's getting teary-eyed because she's like, I'm feeling uncomfy as she's sharing this with him, he's like, sorry, with a little smirk on his face. Like, sorry I'm making you feel like that. Regardless of how you feel about the military, he made her feel so unsafe sharing her feelings.
And it kind of bleeds into the whole conversation about birth control too, because that conversation made me really upset because she started off the conversation saying, I do not want to go back on birth control. And he's like, I totally understand. You should feel comfortable doing whatever you want to do with your body. And he starts it off being so understanding, but then he's like, but it has to feel good for me too, baby.
Yes.
Manipulative. So manipulative.
There's so many different ways of saying, like, I don't like using a condom, but let's try different options. And also, Ramses, if you don't want the risk of having children, fucking wear a condom. You can't have it both ways.
I do have to say, like, I appreciate Ramses for having his beliefs when it comes to his political viewpoints, because his background is different. He's from Venezuela. Yeah. So it's like, you know, he's speaking on things that, like, personally have affected him. It's unfortunate because I think Marissa is, like, very willing to see other perspectives, but he doesn't give her the same grace. I don't know. Yeah. My opinion of him definitely changed in these last couple episodes.
After seeing the way Ramses makes Marissa feel so small, even though Marissa's mom is very harsh and rude, in my opinion, I loved that she questioned him and made him feel so small. I feel like he deserved it. I love that she said, like, oh, you're making yourself look like a saint in that conversation where they're talking about his divorce. I love that. Look, if he was a very nice and great person, I would think otherwise. But the way, again, he talks to Marissa, in my mind, I was like, this is an eye for an eye. Like, you deserve all this.
You know, it's interesting because when I was watching that scene, I was kind of upset with the way Marissa's mom was so, like, what's the way she was just so, like, she was, very rough.
And she was projecting her insecurities onto him too, you know, based on her past relationships. It was a tough scene.
Yeah. And, like, even, like, commenting on his, like, appearance and the way he dressed, I thought that was, like, very rude and it didn't need to be brought up. And at first when I was, like, hearing when he was talking about the divorce and she was like, okay, so it was a mutual thing. Like, don't make yourself look like a saint. I was like, whoa, that was, like, really, that was a hard watch. And I didn't think anything of it. And I kind of tended to side with Ramses more. And I was like, oh, that's, like, harsh for somebody you're meeting for the first time. But the condom scene happened after that. And then I went back and retrospected on my feelings about that scene. And I was like, okay, Marissa's mom, like, you kind of saw through the bullshit of him, like, putting on this act of, like, he's holier than thou. And, like, he's so intelligent and informed and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And that's why I think like my opinion changed. And I was like, Marissa's mom needed to be tough on him. Like, yeah, that's her daughter. And yeah, he should have to sign a prenup. Like, I kind of like went back and thought about it. And I was like, yeah, actually, he kind of deserved to be questioned, because this is marriage and they have fundamental differences.
I mean, Marissa's mom really like said some things where I was like, where is this coming from? You are definitely projecting your insecurities about men onto Ramses and this relationship. And, you know, like what you are saying should never be said to someone. Mm-hmm. But again, the petty side of me was like, you deserve all of this. Okay. Well, I feel like she knew he was a bad soul.
Yeah. Like usually you're totally right. If it was anyone else, I'd be like, ooh, okay, that's a little rough. But like in this scenario, it kind of hit home because it just like made sense to question him. But I do have to say, though, it was interesting to see the dynamic between Marissa and her mom also.
Yeah.
Like clearly they have a little bit of a rough, you know, relationship, because I feel like when you're on camera, like even if you don't think you do this, like when you're on camera, you kind of do put on a face. Like,
yeah, totally.
You act a little differently because you know people are watching. But in their case, they weren't even able to hide the fact that, like, you know, there is like some friction between their relationship. And Marissa's like, well, I don't need mom's approval, you know? So it's kind of like an interesting dynamic. But that was a tough one where she's like, you know, Marissa's been fucked over by her dad and my ex-husband, and she's not going to get fucked over by you. And I understand her protecting, but at the same time, those two men were put in her life because of you, you know?
Yes.
So
I agree.
You can't put that on Ramses.
What I thought was really interesting that Marissa's mom said, though, that I wanted to get your thoughts on, is she says to Ramses that Marissa wants to stay at home and take care of the baby. And that's the opposite of what Marissa said in the pods to Ramses, where she, you know, asks him, like, would you be open to being a stay-at-home dad? And so I'm just really confused at what Marissa wants in a partner in marriage. Like, I can't really figure out who's the true Marissa, just based on, again, what she's telling her mom, what she says to her friends, compared to what she's telling to Ramses.
Yeah, I can't decide if she's just, like, kind of pleasing the people that are in the room with her and like kind of telling them what they want to hear, or if she's just really trying to figure it out for herself too. Like maybe she doesn't know what she wants and she's like, well, this seems like something that would work for me. But then when someone else gives like a strong opinion about something, she's like, actually, you're right. Like I can see myself doing it this way, you know? So I don't know. Like, if she's just like doing it to please people, or she just really doesn't understand what she truly wants as a person. And I think that's an okay thing, because I think I figured that out later in life, truly. Totally. And sometimes I don't even know what I want. But I think when it comes to a situation like marriage, like don't put yourself in a situation where, you know, you're going to regret it and it's going to end up hurting you in the end, you know? Man. Yeah. But I do have to say, after all of that, I don't think they're making it.
No, I hope they don't make it.
Yeah.
I truly feel like Marissa deserves someone who makes her feel safe. And Ramses is not it. Whether it's intended or not, I do think he's very manipulative, and it's something that he needs to like address and learn not to be.
He does come off very judgmental. And at first I saw it as like endearing, because I'm like, okay, he has such strong beliefs and like views in life because of his past. But now I'm like, I don't know if that's what it is. So, well, it'll be interesting to see where they end up.
Yeah. Can we get into Monica and Steven? Because, wow, what a shit show.
The bombshell of Steven. Who knew? Oh, man. Well, let's, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to begin and talk about the whole situation, considering our opinion of him changes and just drops throughout the entire set of episodes.
I take back that I felt sorry for him in last week's recap, okay? Like, I don't feel sorry for him. I actually want to start in that fireworks scene when they're in Mexico at the start of episode 7, where he has a conversation with Garrett, supposedly, about how women will be DMing them when the show comes out. And he's just going on and on trying to explain it to Taylor and Monica. And they're like, what is he saying? I also want to be like, not many women will be DMing you, Steven. Not after all of this.
Yo, like, where, what women? Like, are the women in the room with us? Because no, who are you talking about? I kind of felt bad for him because Monica's like, you know, I expect to have flowers. Like, you know, you said you'd be doing these types of gifts for me. And he didn't know who, what Louis
He's
Vuitton
like, I have
was.
Concepts of flowers. I was like, what's going on?
And you tend to like feel bad for him. And Monica does come off a little bit condescending towards him. And I could see why he felt overwhelmed. But all of that shit goes out the window when we find out what happens. What the fuck are you doing? And also, why are you doing a sleep study drunk?
Like, I know. What? Oh, we're going all the way to the end. Okay. Yeah.
We should. Why not?
I feel like with Steven, there were small red flags leading up to that scene where they're addressing his text messages with another woman, you know, saying some inappropriate things, something about kinks. I don't know. But
lots of inappropriate things.
For example, after their flower making date in his OTF, which, if you guys don't know, it means on the fly. It's those like mini confessional interviews that they do during certain scenes. He says something like, flowers are nice, but if you get laid after, that's a great perk. Like, that's such a weird thing to say. And then he goes too far with making like jokes about kinks. And I was like, it now all makes sense. Why?
Yes, it was all.
You talk about that?
It was all foreshadowing for what was to come. And the editors did a great job of putting in those little snippets in there, because obviously I'm sure there's a lot more they could have put in, but 100% foreshadowing. 100%.
And the fact that Taylor tells Monica that Steven actually said, oh, it's weird, in a year, like a bunch of women will want to suck my dick. So I think that's what he actually said to Garrett in Mexico. And she's just telling Monica that. What a fucking weird thing to talk about, especially when you're on camera.
Yeah. Like, why is that even like top of mind to you? Like, it makes me realize that he's very much a sexual person, which it's okay to be that way. And before we get into that whole scene of what happens where Monica finds the text messages and confronts Steven, I did see on Vile Files, Monica went on and did an interview, and she kind of explained how she found the text messages, and I thought it was interesting. But apparently Garrett and Taylor texted all of the couples and said, hey, we're making fall cookies. We're going to bring them over. And Steven had left to go to the bathroom really quickly. And in that time, Monica saw that Garrett had texted Steven and said, hey, we're coming over with the cookies, which is why she picked up the phone to respond to him. And when she clicked into the message is where she was like, her intuition was tingling, that woman's intuition. And that's why she clicked on the other text message and was like, who's this woman? And then we kind of see a little bit of the rest. So I was like, okay, interesting to know.
I think she said she saw some gross stuff. Like, they were talking about some gross stuff is the way she said it.
Oh, dude. And the fact that he said, oh, no one satisfies me in the way that you do. Like, that is just so inappropriate. I mean, all of it is so inappropriate. But like, him lying about saying he went to a sleep test last night, like, obviously that's a huge, huge lie, considering one, you can't drink when you do a sleep test. And two, why are you scheduling a sleep test during the filming of Love is Blind? Like, that just is, it's a huge red flag and a big, big excuse to just not be in the same apartment as your fiance. Like,
whether he lied or not, it's the fact that he still sent such inappropriate text messages. And you know what? That was cheating. So Monica says in the scene where she's confronting him, like, you were planning to cheat. And he goes, I wasn't. I was like, no, he already cheated. Like, what do you mean? He had these inappropriate conversations with some chick.
Yeah. Like, and you know what's funny, Natalie, is literally in the pods, he exposed himself to Monica and said, I'm so sorry. Like, I actually cheated. It was emotional cheating. It was leading up to that. So he already knew he was cheating. So you're totally right.
No, I know. And I was like, okay, he is definitely the definition of once a cheater, always a cheater. I think back to that pod scene too, where he's like, you know, I did this, I want to talk about it. It's like, oh, like, this is a pattern now. Like, yeah. This is a little habit of his.
Yeah. There's some weird things going on with him. And I'm so happy that she found those text messages. Like, we say this all the time. The universe was looking out for her, dude, because had she not found this out, like, how long would he have kept up the charade? Like, what if she introduced him to her dad? Like, the shame that you feel after that totally. And finding, like, fuck that. I'm sad that it happened to her, but I'm also so happy that it did, because now she can be like, fuck you, goodbye.
I am definitely aligned with your thinking. I also loved that she made him Venmo her in that moment. She goes, okay, can you open up your phone and Venmo me right now? That is iconic queen shit. I was like, slay, slay, slay. Yes. And I don't use the word slay ever, but in that moment, it was a slay.
No, that was a boss ass move. And the ding that they put in, the little chime that she got, yeah. It was incredible.
I loved it. Yeah. She's a queen. You know, regardless of what I thought of her before, in this moment, I was like, you are a queen and you really do deserve the world. After having this guy waste your time, like, you deserve everything.
I and absolutely, you know, agree.
He's also a little manipulative piece of shit. The way he goes, like, I don't deserve much, and makes himself a victim in that moment. He goes, I'll leave you mm-hmm. alone, as if we should feel sorry for him, as if she yeah. should feel sorry for him, is disgusting. I have been with someone like that, and it is the most manipulative shit, because you feel bad for that person because you love them mm-hmm. so much. And when they say yeah. that, you, like, your heart still tugs even though they hurt you so much. It's like a tactic where they make themselves look broken so you should feel mm-hmm. sorry for them. It's like yeah. really disgusting.
No, I completely agree. And also, like, he really didn't provide much explanation. He was just like, I'm just going to go and give you your space. And he kind of, you're right, he victimizes himself. I do love that Garrett and Taylor are there to kind of comfort Monica. And I loved Garrett, like, just showing so much, like, affection to her. It really melted my heart, because yeah. I don't know, I love Garrett. And that brings me back to also, like, I remember when Garrett and Taylor were talking about the situation, Taylor was like, you know, you can kind of see how amazing of a person Monica is, because she told Garrett, like, please check on him too. Like, you know, just make sure he's okay. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's made me like Monica even more. But I love, 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 love Garrett and Taylor.
I do too. And I actually laughed out loud where Taylor is comforting Monica and Steven walks into the kitchen and she's like, that's fucking evil. So he's yes. like, not there. And I was like, I hope he heard from? That. And she, like, just walks out. And I was like, I'm so glad someone said it. Someone had to say it. He had to hear it.
That was hilarious. I was like, whoa. Yeah, also, like, no. Where the fuck was he? Just hiding in the bathroom? Like, I'm confused.
I know. Seriously. I think he probably just, like, walked in from his sleep test, which I'm sure you didn't go to a sleep test. But you're right. Like, I love that Taylor and Garrett were there. Obviously, they're all in the same apartment complex. But I thought it was powerful to show kind of like that friendship and how cast members lean on each other during filming sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Garrett and Taylor are literally the backbone of this damn season.
No, their backs must hurt.
They're carrying the weight. Truly. But they're such a healthy couple. I think they, like, articulate their feelings so well. I absolutely loved how Taylor was with Garrett's parents and his family, like, just allowing them to speak about the concerns that they have while just, like, reassuring them that it's okay. Like, we are throwing you guys into a situation that's very uncharted territory. Like, we understand how crazy this comes off. Like, this situation is absolutely wild and not a lot of people can understand it. But I don't know. It was just, like, really, you could tell Taylor is so, like, emotionally mature.
She's well-spoken. It comes off
very well-spoken.
Yeah. I think both of them are very well-spoken people and really good with their words, which makes them great communicators. And I think it contributes to the brand that they're making right now on the show as a really mature and loving couple. I also agree. I love the way that she handled his family's concerns, like what she said to them. But I also think that it shows their immaturity if they do get married on the show. I think that if something made my parents that upset, where they're crying and they convey like, I don't want you to go through with this, I would not go through with the marriage on the show. I would stay with that person and wait, but it's not worth getting families this upset. And if you are going to say yes to getting married on this show, I think it's really for the show and for the fame at the end of the day. I hate saying that. That's my unpopular take, but that's the only piece where I'm like, it kind of shows their immaturity in that moment. But I do think that they're very mature and I like them a lot.
Interesting, because I think I disagree with you on that, because it really is hard to explain to anybody outside of this experiment why it can sometimes work. And the love that you feel like when you find the right person and the compatibility that exists, I do see how, yes, they could wait to get married. But again, the opportunity is right in front of you and you want to take that leap of faith because you truly do love that person and see them fitting into your life. And so I don't know. I think that it's sometimes it's hard to explain it to your loved ones. But one thing that I didn't realize was going to be like such a big topic of conversation with them was going to be where they lived. I don't think they talked about that in the pods, or maybe I missed it. Yeah, but Garrett moving to San Diego to be closer to Taylor's family, I think that's a huge step. Like, that is asking a lot. And I think that's going to be like one point of contention for them in this relationship. Like, is that a lot to ask of your partner? I don't know.
It's tough because, right, if they get married, which I have a feeling they will, you get married, that's also one big change. And then moving is another huge change. I liked the way that she communicated like her needs and wants. And I like that she also gently called him out, being like, you know, I'm surprised you have some hesitation in moving to San Diego, because when I asked you about it in the pods, you said that you would be open to it. And so again, I think it shows that they're very great communicators. They're very understanding. But I do like like the fact that she kind of like mentioned that of like, okay, you're kind of like flip-flopping here. I do feel like they'll end up moving, because I feel like she's very convincing, and it does feel like kind of like it's a very, not saying it's a deal breaker for her, but she feels very strongly about moving back to San Diego. And I feel like it's going to come down to him being like, yeah, we got to do it.
Yeah. I agree. I also think that they're going to get married, but I do like that G also pushed back a little bit and was like, hey, like, I know I said that I was going to be okay with it, but like in thinking about it, like, I also want my kids to have a relationship with their grandparents. And it's not just a, here you go, you see them on the holidays over Christmas or something. So I don't know. You're right, though. They have a healthy communication. And let's face it, this couple is getting married. And if they don't, then you're right. Let's toss this season away, because like, I would be devastated.
But yeah, like, again, I really, really like them. Again, very mature, very calm, very stable. I still hold this little grudge against Garrett, the way he reacted about not knowing her ethnicity. Do I feel like it's all working out because she's half Asian, half white? Yeah. Do I think that the story might have been a little bit different if she was a different ethnicity and race?
We'll never know.
I think yes. I really love Taylor. Garrett, I really like in these sets of episodes, but again, I still think back to like the pods. I don't know, that whole thing about the ethnicity, and I do feel like he just got very lucky that you know, she is half white and half Asian. That's
I can see
again,
that.
I'm having a lot of unpopular takes, and I don't mean to be like harsh on this couple, but I think that I'm kind of pessimistic now when I see like kind of the it couple on the show, this like loving couple with no issues pretty much, or their issues are so small, because you know, I think about Sabrina and Stephen from Love is Blind UK, where they got this edit where they're coming off mature, they're great communicators, they're so aligned, and they're like the it couple of their season. And yet, you know, you find out Stephen is not actually like that, you know, behind the scenes mm-hmm. and going into his marriage. So it's tough. Like it's like, is it the edit that I'm seeing, or are the couples really like that? I think that's why I struggle with.
Yeah. I think I give Garrett a little bit of a pass because I do understand how he came off very judgmental in the pods, but I also do have to say there's something to Taylor. Like, I just love her so much, and I feel like her intuition would let her know if he was a bad guy, and like she would catch it. But again, we do see a little bit in the trailer, like there's some conflict that does arise with him texting an ex or something like that. So we'll have to see. But you're in such a bubble when it comes to filming Love is Blind, and the edit is what it is. But there is so much more to every single one of these cast members than what meets the eye on TV.
Totally.
And we only see such a small fraction of who they are. And so there's, you never know what other characteristics exist, you know? So, well, speaking about good edits and things you might not know, I was so heartbroken and shocked to find out what we find out about Tyler in these set of episodes. Like, I thought that they were the golden couple. Like, I was rooting for Ashley and Tyler. And then we come to find out that this man has 3 biological kids.
Like, and didn't tell her.
And that's how the worst
crazy.
Part.
I know. Tell her. It's like not even the fact he has the kids. It's the fact that he hid it from her until they're 2 weeks away from their wedding day. Like, what the fuck?
What? Like, there's just so much, there's so much dirt that has surfaced on this man. And it is just so, like, sad to see him crash and burn. Like, it truly is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm nervous that she is going to give him a second chance after this, which I feel like she is.
I think so too.
Just the way they ended in episode 9, right? It just, the way she hugged him and everything, I was like, oh no, she's going to look past this. Again, it's not the fact that he has kids, but if he was honest about that in the beginning, it'd be a whole different, you know, scenario right now. It's the fact mm-hmm. that he lied about it for as long as he did.
And I wonder how she found out. I am so pissed off because it's another off-camera moment where Tyler tells Ashley about the kids and we don't get to see it live. Like, they are talking about it after the fact, and it feels like the scene is very, like, staged.
I don't like men like this who are sneaky. Like, this is a really big thing to withhold and lie about. I think it's really crazy, the fact that they're talking about kids every day, like Ashley says, and he fails to bring this up until this point in time.
I think it is so deceitful to the person that you say you supposedly love and care about, and you're having conversations about family and kids, and you leave out the biggest bomb of all, the fact that you already have 3, not one, not 2, 3 kids.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
So I know he says that he's a sperm donor. Like, these are sperm donor babies. That's what Ashley says. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he was pretty active in their lives. So there have been things that have been leaked on social media. Again, these are only allegations. So we'll see if more comes out or if he addresses them. So Storytime with Ricky is a TikToker, and she shared screenshots that I think were provided by the baby mama of these 3 kids, where Tyler had pictures of him and the kids on a social media, but archived them before the show came out. So he had pictures with them on Christmas, with matching pajamas on, at a pumpkin patch. His own mother even posted a picture with one of his kids saying, "I have the cutest grandson ever." And I'm like, that doesn't feel like a donor. That feels like a father.
It'd be, you know, like, what he's, I'm involved saying? In their lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do. There is a lot of speculation going around about this whole situation. And again, Natalie and I do not know all the full details of what this situation is. But allegedly, like, he potentially could have been a sperm donor and kind of changed his mind and was like, you know, it is a friend, so I want to be more involved in the kids' lives. Like, I don't know exactly what the full story is, but based on what we've seen and the screenshots, it does feel like he knows who they are and he spent holidays with them. So it feels like he's more than just a sperm donor.
Yeah, like I feel like he's very much downplaying his relationship with these kids. And even if he wasn't exactly a father, it's like clearly he's withholding his full role. Like he's still kept in contact with these kids, but allegedly he stopped communicating with them during filming back in October 2023. So it's very interesting. Also, the same TikToker shared screenshots that allegedly shows Tyler was cheating on Ashley with multiple women when he was living in the shared apartment with her during filming. So there are screenshots of him texting another woman asking if he could sleep over and telling, I think, that same woman that he loved her. So there's just so much more to Tyler. Again, these are all allegations that are being leaked on social media. So as Deep D said, we don't know what's true or not, but I still think it's a red flag, regardless of what's true or not, the fact that he withheld this from Ashley.
All of these people are coming to light now. What I think is like really upsetting and sad is that during the time of this filming, Tyler's creating a narrative that he's just a sperm donor to Ashley and kind of, you know, diminishing the situation and not exposing it for what it is. And I fear that Ashley is going to like gloss over this fact and kind of believe him and say, you know, this is still the man that I love and end up marrying him. And it's going to turn into something deeper for her, because I feel like she is like in too deep at this point without knowing all the information that's coming out now. Like, I would love to see how much of this she knew back then when the show was
filmed. Yeah, we'll have to see in the next set of episodes if she knows more. She might know more and they just agreed, you know, not to share it on camera. So really, who knows? Very curious if this will be addressed further in the next sets of episodes that comes out on Wednesday or what. So,
What a shit show.
Crazy. I know.
What a shit show. Like, when I first started watching these episodes, I was like, they're like, what can they possibly have? And we thought Leo and Brittany was like the highlight of the show. Nope. Yeah.
It gets even crazier. Well, let's get into our last couple, Alex and Tim. And what was shocking to me about them is they have less drama than most of the other couples.
Who knew? Because when we left Mexico, we thought that this was going to be the couple that had the most issues, that they weren't going to make it. Yep. But it kind of ends up that they're the least drama filled couple. It's interesting. I didn't think that they were going to move past that because Tim is like so big on boundaries and respect. But I do have to say, I absolutely loved Tim meeting Alex's family. The moment that he had with her dad actually brought me to tears. I don't know why, but it moved me so much. It was so heartwarming. Like, because the relationship of a daughter and father is just like so beautiful. And when grown men cry about their daughters, it just like melts my heart. And that scene definitely did.
I agree. I really loved that scene where Tim is reading his letter to Alex's dad, Richard. And Richard starts crying because he's so moved. And he's like, you know, I just need a moment to gather my thoughts. And he says, I think, like, you know, we just met, but I believe in you. And that's when I just like burst into tears. Like, what powerful words to hear that from your partner's parents. Like, when they say, like, I believe in you. Like, I think when you say that to anyone, it's, you know, I think that it really just touches your heart. And at first, though, I was really nervous that her dad was not going to like him. And I'm so glad at the end of that parents meet up, like, you know, her family really embraced him, because I am starting to like Tim a lot, especially in this set of episodes. Even seeing his house, like how clean he is.
Perfect.
I feel like he had the most clean apartment out of everyone.
so put together. It was like so him too. But we have to talk about how opposite Alex is to Tim. And everyone's like, why didn't she go in beforehand and clean? Or why didn't she bring someone in to clean? Because she knew cameras were coming. With what time? There's no way she would have even had time to clean that place. They're like very opposite when it comes to living and just cleanliness. I don't know. Do you think that they're going to make it?
Look, when I saw her apartment, I was like, I get that. Because my apartment looks like that as I was trying to find outfits for the show, right? Because I think we had a week to like choose our outfits to bring to filming because you have to follow a certain like color scheme and stuff. So like my closet is pretty much just like browns, blacks, and whites. And those are the colors you can't wear. And Same. They're like, you need like colorful clothes. And so I was like trying to put outfits together. So I get it. But yeah, you're right. Like, why didn't she like clean before cameras arrived or he arrived? I think that says more about her personality, her like cleanliness.
Yeah. I do see the perspective of, oh, she's like, you know what? This is just me. I'm just going to allow somebody to see the most vulnerable side to me and just let's just see what happens. So I totally get that too.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I understand it. But you're right. There's not like much drama with this couple. And so far, I feel like they're okay. But the trailer was interesting where Tim is like, my parents drove 10 hours to be here and film and Alex went to sleep right after, which I think I would be very offended too if that happened.
Same.
Like where's the respect, right? Especially because he gave so much respect to her family. So there's some drama coming.
And this is her time to get to know his family and his family to get to know her before the wedding day. Like there's not a lot of time for, you know, your friends and family to really get to know your partner in this Love is Blind experiment. So yeah, that was disappointing to hear that she decided to go to sleep, but I'm very curious like how that actually plays out in this week's episodes. That trailer was very juicy. I did love that piece in the trailer where Marissa kind of claps back at Ramses because I feel like she has failed to do so at this point where she kind of lets him kind of take charge of the conversation. And I was like, you know what? She needs to say something. She needs to stand up for herself.
Yes. And also we see a little snippet of Nick flirting with another cast member. I don't remember her name, but like that creates a conflict where he's like very much flirting with her and you can see it. And I was like, oh no, like
I know
this is going to be the demise. Ooh.
We'll have to see. We will have to see. But I am very excited for this Wednesday. And Pod Besties, we need to know your opinions and thoughts. So please DM us on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods, or you could comment on our YouTube videos or any of our reels or TikToks. We'd love to know what you think.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
Bye.